In sports, indoor tennis has come to Wimbledon. The new retractable roof over center court was closed today after rain halted play. The two-piece roof is translucent, so natural light can pass through, and there are also light fixtures that turn on when the stadium is closed. It takes about 10 minutes to open or shut the roof, which passed its test during a day of exhibition matches last month. The roof wasn't needed during the first week of the tournament. In play today, Roger Federer and Leighton Hewitt advanced to the quarterfinals, as has Venus Williams. The Chicago Cubs begin a three-game series against the last-place Pirates at Pittsburgh tonight to close out a 10-game road trip on which they've managed only one win so far. The White Sox open a three-game series at Cleveland tonight, and the St. Louis Cardinals will take on the visiting San Francisco Giants tonight in the Gateway City. That's sports.
We have just today and tomorrow to raise the remaining $120,900 in listener support that we'll need to continue to bring you the news and information programs you count on us for in the new fiscal year that begins Wednesday. You can make a big difference by calling 217-244-9455 and making a contribution.
For the state of Illinois, the next fiscal year is fast approaching with no budget deal in sight. To avoid massive cuts to social service programs, for most agencies, that means if no agreement is reached, they must begin shutting down vital programs and laying off staff. For others, those cuts have already begun. Todd Feuer has more.
How is everybody?
At first glance, it looks and sounds like any other summer picnic. Adults and kids lining up to fill their plates with hot dogs, potato chips, fruit, and salads. The sun is shining, but there are storm clouds on the horizon. Those at the picnic are workers and clients of Spark, a Springfield-based agency that provides services for hundreds of people with developmental disabilities. Barb Turner is the agency's spokeswoman. She says facing the prospect of state budget cuts in May or June is nothing new, but this year is different.
What's different about this year is the cuts are much more severe. What's different this year is that every agency in the state of Illinois that receives funding through grants, they're either laying people off as we are or actually closing down.
Some agencies are already moving forward with program cuts and layoffs because they cannot afford to run at full capacity without their traditional state grants. So far, the only budget deal lawmakers have passed would cut those agencies' funds by at least half. Spark is laying off more than 50 people. The agency is also eliminating or paring back some popular programs. Turner says they can't afford to wait and see if the budget stalemate will end by the time the new fiscal year starts on July 1st.
Should they come back even in a week and say, well, now we've passed a budget, we've already dismantled our programs. We have a summer camp that halfway through, we have to close it.
The summer camp, which normally runs for 8 weeks, will end this year after only four. That will leave many parents in a lurch. Samantha Burris works at Spark, and her 7-year-old autistic son Brandon attends the camp. She says without it, her husband will have to take off work to stay home with Brandon. She says the summer camp is vital for her son.
Children with autism have to stay busy, and so it's a lot harder to keep him busy at home sometimes. At the camp, you know, they have a lot of people who are trained with autism. They do outings, field trips almost daily. They do a lot of activities that are sensory that the children with autism really need. So basically, I mean, it's ruined his whole summer. He's going to be at home, being forced to kind of just hang out a lot at home. I mean, we're do things with him, but the camp really specializes in that autism and things to keep them busy.
Samantha says she has no other options. Most daycare centers won't take children with autism, and she doesn't trust many people to watch Brandon. But the children and parents who rely on Spark Summer Camp are not the only ones losing out due to the state's budget mess. Included in Spark's layoffs are more than half their job coaches, who train people with developmental disabilities to enter the workforce. They also help make sure those individuals can keep their jobs once they find work. Yvette Haywood has been working with job coaches to learn how to be a cashier.
We got a real cash register with real money. I don't know how to do the cash register yet with the real money. I'm learning how to do it in case I get a real job out at the stores.
Yvette says she's angry that some of her coaches must leave July 1st. As upset as the workers and clients at Spark might be about the cuts, they realize others are getting hit much harder. Unless there's a sudden unexpected deal, some agencies will be shutting down altogether. the autism program at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign would lose all of its funding under the so-called half budget now on the table. Linda Tortorelli runs that agency, which has an annual contract with the state. That contract runs out on August 15th, and it's the only funding which the program receives. I asked if she could turn to private donors instead.
To be able to keep this program going, I'd have to raise over $200,000 by August 15th, and we aren't looking at doing that. For us, here at the University of Illinois, there's no options. We will be shutting down on the 15th.
Under that scenario, Tortorelli and other staff would lose their jobs. But she says, more importantly, 60 people with autism will no longer get the social skills programs they rely on. Hundreds of families who visit the center to learn to care for their autistic children would have to find that training elsewhere. And with every state-funded social service agency in Illinois facing cuts, those people won't have many other options. In this economy, those groups can't afford to take out the loans they might have received in other years while they waited for a state budget. And there's only so much money they can raise from private donors when families all across the state are pinching pennies in a recession. So without a state budget deal soon, the ripples could be felt in every corner of the state. I'm Todd Fuhrer.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Well, here it is, summer. Kids may be looking for something to do, and you may find yourself thinking they shouldn't spend quite so much time in front of the television or computer. Well, how about a book? Well, that's a great idea, but it might be a hard sell. My guest in this portion of the program suggests an audio book. My guest is an actress who is an award-winning narrator of books for kids and young adults. Her name is Katherine Kellgren. And she says there's some evidence that audiobooks help build listening skills in children, and that in turn helps build reading skills. Katherine Kellgren has narrated a couple of books known as Bloody Jack Adventures by L.A. Meyer. Bloody Jack is really an orphan whose name is Mary. And by way of introduction, we'll listen here to an excerpt of Bloody Jack, being an account of the curious adventures of Mary Jackie Faber, ship's boy. It's early in the story. Mary is one of a number of kids, orphans, roaming the streets, hoping to scrounge up enough money for a meat pie. The setting is 18th century London. She describes where they sleep.
Our kip is up under the Blackfriars Bridge, just where the bridge meets the road, real sharp, so there's a cave under there, like. We got some straw from the stables on the sly, a little bit at a time. So at night we all burrows in and sleeps in a pile for warmth and comfort. When it rains, trickles of water come down through the black stones, but we knows where they'll be coming now, so we keeps away. Can't keep away the damp from the river, though. I think that's what took Emily off, the damp and cold from the river. In the night, the lights from the city lamps bounce off the waves, and on foggy nights, horns sound low and mournful back and forth. It's ships making their way to someplace else, and I want to be going somewheres else too.
Well, Katherine Kellgren, welcome to the program. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me, Celeste.
Sure. Well, tell us more about this plucky orphan.
Well, this is a plucky orphan who decides she's going to better her state in the world by pretending she is a boy, changing into boy's clothing, and joining the Royal Navy. And she sails off on the wide oceans and has all sorts of adventures, including battling pirates. So it's a wonderful adventure series. And in the second part of the series, she is discovered to be a girl and sent to a Boston finishing school. And they try to make a lady of her, but alas, her nature always comes through.
Yeah. Now, what age group will like these Bloody Jack adventures?
Well, they're really aimed at teen listeners, these books.
Yeah. How was it decided the books would be unabridged in the recorded form?
Well, I think that they make a decision quite often with children's and young adult books to do an unabridged version in case people are reading along.
Mm. There's a good way to bring the book into the picture.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, how would you go about introducing a child, a young person, to the experience of listening to an audio book?
Well, I would say that about 30 minutes a day, maybe if you're driving a kid to school or to soccer practice or even before bedtime, is a great way just to get them in the habit of listening. Because listening is such an important skill which leads to reading. And in very young children, there have been studies that say it helps build vocabulary and fluency in reading. So it's a very important thing to learn how to listen.
Yeah. How did you become interested in narrating audiobooks?
Well, I listened to a lot of audiobooks when I was a child. I was given, when I was about 13 or 14, a wonderful cassette tape set of the great British actor Sir John Gielgud reading speeches from Shakespeare called The Ages of Man. And I listened to that over and over and over again. And then I started reading the plays which the speeches came from. And it really opened up a lot of literature to me. It made it seem less intimidating. And when I got older, I thought that that had had such a strong impact on me that I would really like to devote my career to trying to be a narrator myself.
Yeah. How do you prepare for narrating a story?
Well, after reading the story, I write down all the accents that I have in the book, and I'll study them and look up pronunciations of words. I go through and I mark all the characters in different colors so I know who's speaking at any one time, because it can get very confusing if there are five or six people all speaking at once. Basically, there are a lot of sort of historical details, especially in the Bloody Jack books, that I have to research.
Yeah. What do you like most about this Bloody Jack series?
Well, it's very exuberantly written. It's a really beautifully written story, and I like the fact that it has a strong female heroine, and yet I think, you know, boys would enjoy this book as well as girls. It's just a very kind of old-fashioned, rip-roaring adventure tale.
Yeah. When you were a girl, what were your favorite books?
What were my favorite books when I was a girl? Well, I was a bit of an odd child, to be honest. I liked when I was about
yes, Sir John Gielgud.
I really got
playing in the background.
Reading Tennessee Williams was what I really liked to read. So I was not exactly a completely normal child. But now that I'm an adult and I've been reading these young adult books, I've gotten very involved in them. They're incredibly addictive, these series books. I do a number of different series. And like people felt about the Harry Potter books, I feel about some of the series I do because I think, oh, what's going to happen next? And it's a great adventure just recording them.
Yeah. What were you like as a child around the house in the summertime, let's say? I can imagine you being rather dramatic and and maybe putting on a show.
I don't know. I think I was maybe closeted in my room with my records. I like to read, and I was raised in New York City, partly in New York City and partly in London. And once I started listening to audiobooks, then I got very interested in reading. So I spent a lot of time doing the both of them. So I guess I was probably pretty quiet.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about the man behind Bloody Jack?
Well, he's a wonderful writer called L.A. Meyer, and he is, maybe let's say in his 60s. He's got grown children, and he lives in Maine, and he is a former Navy officer. So he has a lot of firsthand knowledge of seafaring lore.
Yeah, and it's interesting to note that Bloody Jack was his first novel.
Yeah, it's been a very successful series for him in print, I think. They've become very, the books are sort of cult books, so it's fun to be able to record them.
Well, I put the first disc in, and I was sorry I had to turn it off to go to bed, but I think it would be a good family activity as well. Besides Meyer's books and these particular audio recordings that we've been talking about this afternoon, what would you recommend for young readers, and how do you go about, let's say you're going to the library or to the bookstore and you want to pick something up either for your child or as a gift for someone else, what kinds of things would you look for?
Well, I guess I would look for good actors reading the books and great authors. I can definitely recommend some books because I'm a I
a frequent listener to audiobooks. I absolutely love listening to them, and I listen to a lot of young adult books because it helps me to learn as a narrator when I hear really great narrators read. There's a fantastic version I just listened to recently of Treasure Island, which is a great classic, narrated by Alfred Molina. And there's also Neil Gaiman's The Graveyard book, which he reads himself. And that just won the Newbery Award as a book, and the audio version won Audiobook of the Year from the Audio Publishers Association. So that's a great one to listen to.
Yeah. And what are you reading right now?
Oh, I am reading book 6 in the Bloody Jack series. In fact, I am starting tomorrow morning.
Wow.
And it's called My Bonnie Light Horseman.
Oh, so we'll look forward to that one. So now there will be 6.
There will be 6.
Okay, well, that'll keep us busy through the summer, won't it?
I think so. A lot of long
5.
Trips.
Yes. Okay, very good. Well, Catherine, thank you so much for talking with me this afternoon.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Celeste.
Catherine Kalgren, she is an award-winning narrator of books for children and young adults. She's an actress, and you can look for her work. Bloody Jack is the first in the Bloody Jack Adventure series. And for more information, you can check into www.listenandlive.com.
Earth and Sky.
Wayne Isaias is a NASA scientist. He's been using satellite data to track plant and pollinator relationships across the United States. Bees are a common type of pollinator, and Isaias is also a beekeeper. He got the idea for his project after discovering that the bees he keeps in Maryland were making honey earlier and earlier in the year.
The nectar flows were coming about a half a day earlier per year.
Isaias was curious about whether plants and pollinators in other areas of the U.S. were shifting their behavior in a similar way in response to warming winters caused by climate change.
The numbers of species involved and variability across the country means that this is a very difficult area to study, and that's where the satellite comes in.
In his job for NASA, Isaias is familiar with using satellite tracking tools to monitor ground vegetation across the globe. Now he plans to integrate satellite data with records kept by beekeepers.
And that gives us the type of generalization that we need in order to perhaps better understand the impact of climate change and land cover change on the status of our pollinators. If they get out of sync, terribly out of sync, we lose both the plant and the pollinator.
Our thanks today to NASA's Terra mission, helping us better understand and protect our home planet. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.
WILO programming is made possible by Columbia Street Roastery, offering